Remain standing as we read the scriptures together. Our text will come from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians 5, and we'll read verses 13 through 15. Truly the Lamb is the glory of Emmanuel's land, and he is the glory of the church. May he be honored by our hearing. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In his work, the Confessions, the Church Father, Augustine, he identifies his deep longing that what he had longed for and what he sought out of life was to love and to be loved. And that was the cry of his heart, and he identified that as the cry of the human soul. He catalogs all sorts of different ways that he sought to practice and experience that love that were all unsatisfactory. And in fact, they are. Every single avenue of practicing and experiencing that love, every single avenue will fail and disappoint because our hearts, he said, are restless until they find their rest in him. Loneliness is a thing. Just as real as that long stretch of highway at midnight. Just as real as the ice that begins to creep and form over the waters. Loneliness is a thing. It freezes. It isolates. It creates holes. It leaves chasms. Vast, open chasms. And do you know the thing? Every single desire of the human soul, every cry, every longing, it's a picture. It is a type of what we truly long for. Ultimately, all of those desires, you're longing for Christ, the one who alone can satisfy and fill and feed. You're longing for him. You're longing for something that the creature could never provide. You're longing for Christ. What is Christ? Christ is love itself. Christ is the gospel. It's not just that Christ preaches the gospel or delivers the gospel. Christ himself is the gospel. He is love itself. So Jonathan Edwards, when he's describing revival in the 18th century, his eyewitness accounts of revival, how did he describe the Spirit's power, the Spirit's coming down upon the Word, the Spirit's impact on the people of the church and the households and the neighborhoods? How did Edwards describe the impact of the Spirit's power? He said, the place became full of love. That's Jonathan Edwards. The place was filled with love. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Revival is the time of Christ. Revival is not about us. It's not about a sign that's thrown up. It's not about emotional experiences. Revival is not about signs and wonders. Revival is about Christ. Reformation is about Christ. It is about Christ drawing near by his word and his spirit. It's all of Christ. And Christ is love itself. He is love embodied. Now, you and I have untold numbers of hindrances in the fallen world. How in the world do you know how to love people well? How do you know how to love the church? How do you know how to love under your own roof? How do you and I know how to love one another? You just start clicking off the list. There is an untold number of things that will hold back your pace. They will freeze your words. They will hinder even the deepest affection. So how do you know? How do you know how to love? Now, what is it to love? And I want to say, looking at these words here, the first thing that you must do if you would love well, you must embrace your freedom. It's imperative. If you would learn what it is to love, you must embrace your freedom. A person in spiritual bondage will, guaranteed, have deep struggles and deep bondage in their love for others, how they express that love to others, what they expect, how they treat. Look at what he says. Look at verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. You're called to liberty. Yo, that is the gospel. This is Paul's letter to the Galatians. This is the declaration of independence for the church. You were called to freedom. Freedom from ceremonial law and regulation, so that now our worship on this side of the resurrection, now our worship is simple. It is biblical. Worship before the resurrection is dominated by the symbols, the ceremonies, the incense, the sacrifices, the physical shedding of blood. Now on this side of the resurrection, you are freed from ceremonial regulation. Our worship now, though it has the same basic elements of reading, preaching, praying, singing the word, our worship now looks different from the book of Leviticus. Okay. You're called to freedom. Freedom from ceremonial law. Freedom from seeking your own salvation by your own efforts. It is not, I don't know, how many conversations have we had about this just in recent weeks? It is not Jesus plus. It is not Jesus plus something else in order to get to heaven. He is it. Jesus is the gospel. You are called to freedom. Be freed from every system that would teach you to add to Jesus. You're called to freedom. And that freedom is what frees you to love well. Okay, think of the alternative. How would being in spiritual bondage, how would that hinder your love? He's quoting the law. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How would spiritual bondage hold you back from loving well? Your pace begins to falter. Your arms grow heavy. Your feet begin to drag. Your soul is infected, and it's heavy. It's joyless. You feel completely incapacitated, like you can't even crawl another inch. You're done. When you're in spiritual bondage, when you are under that oppressive weight, you can't move another step. And so what do you need? When you're all locked up, when your soul is on lockdown, okay, when your spirit is heavy, it is heavied by the weights and the burdens of spiritual oppression and bondage, what do you need when you're all tight? What do you need? You need the loosening power of the Spirit. You need assurance. You need the assurance that you are who He says that you are. You need the assurance that you are where you are supposed to be. You need assurance that you are His, that He is yours. You are called to freedom, brothers, He says. That freedom, that is the deep secret of loving well, to experience the love of God that is poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit, to experience the unspeakable, free, undeserved mercy of the Father, to experience deeply the infinite, unutterable love of Christ, to experience the grace, the long-suffering, patient grace of the Holy Spirit. There is the secret to loving well, to keeping the commandments of God. There is that secret spring. And without that understanding of the gospel, without that embrace of Christ, I will guarantee you will not love as you and I are commanded to love. You need to be free. My chains fell off, my heart was free, is what we're going to sing in just a few minutes. You need the freeing, liberating, equipping grace of the Lord Jesus. You need to be free. Secondly, you need to bend to the law. In order to love well, you must embrace your freedom. How different would our households, how different would congregations look if people truly understood their freedom, and they related to each other as the freeborn children of God, and they spoke to each other that way. Embrace your freedom. But second thing, and this, it's a traveling companion, you must bend to the law. What does Paul do here? How does he exhort them? Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. We're coming back to that one. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law, what does he point them to as the standard? How do you know what love is? He points them to the law. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What does the law require? The law requires love. The Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, pursue love. Not just let it happen, but pursue it. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue it. He says to the Romans, let love be genuine. Romans 12. Love, he says, Romans 13, love is the fulfilling of the law. Why should you hear the Ten Commandments? Because they're teaching you how to love. How to love God and how to love people. You must bend to the law. And when you bend to what the law requires, what do you find? When you consider the love of God for sinners, when you consider the love of the Father toward the Son, when you consider all of those things, what do you see? Okay, think about the Father's love for the Son. Love is a delight. The Father delights in the Son. Love is a delight in the character, the gifts, the very soul of another. The Father looks upon the Son and He is well pleased. Now with humans, that needs to be cultivated. It needs to be tilled, pruned, worked. It does not come naturally. And so, not only is love a delight in the character, the gifts, and the soul of another, love is also a giving of your own character and gifts and soul to another. So, yes, it is a delight, but it is also a giving. It is a giving of your own gifts, character, and very soul to another. That's the heart of Christ for sinners. That's the heart of Christ for His bride. That's the heart of the one who is gentle and lowly for bruised reeds. That is the heart of our Savior. It's one of the sweet fountains of the Reformation, right? Just the sheer, undeserved, unmerited love of God. You need to bend to the law. And when you read the law, you see the heart of the Father toward the Son. Love is a delight. Delight in each other. There are things to delight in. When you look at one another, when you serve together, you pray together, you work together, there are things to delight in as you look upon one another. But also give. Lay yourself out for the glory of the Lord. Give of yourself. But love, as it bends to the law, love must also honor boundary. Our culture says love overcomes boundary. Scripture says love is guarded and channeled through boundary. Love must honor boundary. What does he say? Look at verse 13. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Do not indulge in a life of selfish pursuits and then use grace to excuse your behavior. Do not use your freedom as a rationalizing for sin. Love must honor boundary. And what is the boundary? That's the boundary of the law. So then what do you see here? You see that love must flow between the banks. And what are the banks? They are the banks of the commandments of God. If love overflows the banks, what happens? The fields are destroyed. What is good is overcome. Love must flow between the banks. It must honor the fences of his posting. And what are the fences which he has provided in Scripture? What are the fences? What are the boundaries? Look at what he says. Look at verse 14. The whole law. What does love do? Love must bend to the law. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So there's embrace your freedom, but bend to the law. Understand what it is to delight, what it is to give, and to honor boundary. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. But the last thing I want you to see is that in order to love well, you must distribute the gift. You look at verse 13. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, keep it for yourself. Hoard and use it selfishly. Feed your own passions and desires. What does it say? Through love, serve. Remember, love is a delight, but it's also a giving. Jesus says to the disciples, boys, we just read it this morning. Jesus says to the disciples, you have received without payment. Give without pay. In other words, freely you have received, freely give. Now, what is love? It is experiencing deeply in the core of your being the immense, unutterable, unfathomable love of Christ. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's love? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to sin pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? It is to feel deeply in the core of your being the immense, amazing, overcoming, overwhelming, transforming love of Christ. And it is to have that love then sent out, not selfishly hoarded, but sent out as a gift through love, serve one another. It is to express, it is to practice, it is to give, and not expect anything in return. Freely you have received, freely give. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Now we have obligations to each other. The law forms the content of love, how that love will be expressed. The providence of God arranges when, where, how that love will be practiced and expressed. And so you and I, in the sweet providence of God, what do we have? In the providence of God, we have this fellowship in this room drawn together. How many people do we have here who have come from different walks of life, different paths, who have been led to this particular point? You know, we have people in and out all the time. You might never have these exact people in the same room ever again in history. You think about that. The providence of God arranges the when, the where, the how that love is to be practiced and expressed. In His providence, He's built some of you, He's built all of us, into families. Regardless of your season of life, He's built all of us into families, one way or another. He's drawn us together as a congregation. For some of you, He's joined you together with marriage vows. Okay, vows. Whether it's vows as members of the church, vows as a household at baptism, vows at marriages, He has ordained the time, the place, the where, the when, the how. And His providence has arranged just how that love is to be expressed, how it is to be served. Through love, serve one another. Now, in order for this sort of love to be practiced, in order for this sort of love to be experienced and then given, there must be an excavation. There must be a scouring. There must be an emptying of the human heart. You must come to the end of yourself and recognize who you are before Him. There must be an excavation. In other words, there must be a death. In order for love to be truly practiced, to hear these words of the apostle and to practice them, there must be a death. There must be a death to self. There must be a death to your own selfish pursuits and passions. If you bite and devour one another, verse 15, it's easy to bite and devour. All you have to do is give in to yourself. If you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. There must be a death. So then, what is the source of such love? The source of such love, Colossians 3:3, you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. 2 Corinthians 4:12, the Apostle Paul says, death is at work in us, but life in you. There must be a death. There must be a scouring. There must be an excavation of your soul. There must be a massive reservoir that is carved by the Spirit of God. And then once that massive chasm is in place, what does He do? He then pours. Oh, by the Christ Himself. Christ is the gospel. What does Christ do with an empty soul? What does Christ do with the chasms? What does He do? Does He not pour? Does He not come in the fullness of times at just the right time under His providence? And does He not pour His Spirit? Does He not pour His love into your soul? The Apostle Paul says it, Romans 5:5, that the love of God has been poured into our heart by the Holy Spirit. And that love, it fills to the brim. Y'all, this is what revival is. The Spirit of God comes down in power by the Word. He anoints the Word, and by means of the truth, He plants life in you, and He brings life from the dead. He makes streams to abound in the desert. Isaiah 43:19, He says, I'm doing a new thing. A new thing I am doing. I will cause rivers in the desert, regardless of how desolate, dry, or barren you might be. the Spirit of God is able to make a way. He is able to clear the ground. He is able to dig, to till whatever soil must be tilled, to excavate whatever must be removed. He is able to go deep down into the core of your being and to meet you exactly where you must be met. The cry of Augustine is the cry of you and me, to love and be loved. The words of a 19th century preacher: every human desire is a type. How about that? Ceremonies were a type of Christ. This 19th century man calls even your desires a type, pointing you to the love of Christ, who alone can satisfy. Brothers and sisters, be free. Be free of every burden. If you are not free, then come to Him, weary and heavy laden. Bring your burdens. No matter how long you've been a professing believer, bring your burdens. Come to Him for rest. Hear His law. Bend to the law. And distribute the gift. What you have been given, freely you've received. Freely give. May He revive and reform His church. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, we fall now before the majesty of Your throne, confessing the depth of our own sin, and that we ourselves have set our affection on the things of this world rather than the things of God. And we pray, Lord, by Your Spirit, that You would till whatever soil must be tilled and excavate whatever must be removed. Lord, leave room for nothing but Christ. None but Christ. None but Christ for us, O God. And then we pray, Lord, that having tasted and seen that You are good, Lord, that You would then transform our words and our love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.